All right. Bless you, buddy. All right. Thank you all. Please be seated. Wonderful to be with you all this wonderful Sunday morning. It's good to see Mike again. Welcome back, Mike. Of course, Barnhart's, good to see you guys. Thanks for coming out once again. I thought maybe Barney could maybe come up here or just do it from there. Why don't you have a prayer to get things going?
Yeah, first Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and care and goodness to us. Father, you're just so amazing in that you've given us great hope that whether we live or fall asleep, we know Christ will return, that we're going to get a new body and completely renewed mind, and the things of this world are going to pass very quickly. In the meantime, Lord, thank you for energizing us with great joy as we go along our way, and that we can just cast the cares and burdens to the side. I thank you, Lord, for words that remind us to be still and to be at rest and to cast all of our cares, our burdens, anxious thoughts, worries, doubts, things that really try to distract us, that in the big picture, Father, they're just so non-important. And even though we may be experiencing certain thoughts and feelings and emotions at any given moment, Father, we know that your truth stands par excellence. And yet we continue to walk with a really great non-judgmental attitude, that our love for people, like your love for us, Father, is unconditional. Our love for others is full of forgiveness and grace and mercy, just like your love is for us. And though the human tendency is to be so critical and so judgmental, Father, thank you for just filling us with and having us aware of how much you love us and how much we've been forgiven for. And thank you that we get an opportunity to pass that along. So in each area of a person's heart who's here, gathered on the conference call, on Facebook, Father, we just want to lay it down and just clear the slate and just be able to be able and capable and wonderful ministers of yours. Wherever we may be, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, that we have words that bring life and hope and peace and a taste of your goodness, Father. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah, amen, amen. Thank you, Barney. I want to bring greetings to those who have joined in on the Facebook Live and those of you on the conference call, and bless all of us that are gathered here this morning. Of course, we continue to keep Mike's family in our prayers, of course, for sure. Ironically, I was going back and forth trying to decide whether or not I should share what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning, but of course, God gave me the green light, and here we are, under one accord. It's on my heart to say that Mike was an energetic man. His faith was very strong, and even as he was dealing with these health challenges, and of course, that presents mental challenges as well. I mean, one can only imagine what that's actually like. But during this time that we grieve his passing, we know one thing: that grieving will come to an end, and that sting will fade as we are comforted by the truth of God's Word. Amen? So with that being said, what I'm going to share with you this morning, I've entitled it The Energizing Fulfillment of Joy. You know, some may say the reason for the season during this time of year is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I have to say, I'm thankful that we still mention his name in the outside world at least once a year. But even though the timing of his birth is a little off when it comes to the outside world, I'm very grateful for that. We know that Jesus Christ was the greatest man alive, huh? He lived a life that was dedicated to one thing, doing his Father's will. And he said four little words that would change the trajectory of our mindset as we know it for the rest of time. And that could be found, those four little words could be found in John chapter 16, 33, which is our theme verse on the screen here. John 16, 33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but," here are those four little words, "be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know those four little words, "be of good cheer," have changed the hearts and minds of people across the world for centuries. Be of good cheer. And this particular verse isn't the only time Jesus spoke those words. He also spoke them while the apostles in Matthew 14 were on that boat and the winds were howling and the storm was brewing. They were afraid. But Jesus said in verse 27, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." You know, we live in a day and age where cheerfulness or joy is not exactly prioritized. We are consistently programmed to feel defeated or not good enough for someone or something. The list goes on and on and on. But those little words, those four little words that Jesus spoke in John 16:33 would change it all, even in our lifetime today. Because I find it so fascinating that our identification is completely, fully in Christ, right? And that gives us the ability to do many extraordinary things. But most of all, it allows us to walk this earth with a heart of cheerfulness. And our cheerfulness comes from the Spirit of Christ within, right? You notice that it's also the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. And because we can walk into that workplace, into that classroom, for all of us, the classroom is a thing of the past. But you name it. That Agape Now outreach. I mean, who knows? You may not go. You may have been once, twice. I don't know how you feel about it, but there's an opportunity to prove this stuff. And there are many people out there that are still feeling subjected to the darkness and the bondage of this world. Because you know what? This world promotes bondage and low feelings. It's everywhere. And you know what I call it? I call it division, for the most part. It reminds us that we're all different and that we belong in boxes, and those boxes should never touch. But God has done something even greater. God has called each and every one of us to a greater purpose. And that purpose should be our solution to the world's tactics. Because we will face, and we have faced, a lot of those things throughout our lives. But our response, well, you know what, guys? That's the most important thing. What is our response going to be? Who in this room has, at one time or another, dealt with two things, negativity or a bad attitude? Who's ever dealt with those things? Every hand, every person in here, if you've lived on this earth, Mike has two hands up. We've all been there, because we've all dealt with those things. Point or another, we've had those moments where we didn't see the glass half full, we saw it half empty. And we've all been in those moments where we thought to ourselves, how much worse could it get? My life sucks. Nothing ever goes according to plan. I'm not good enough for this. I never get what I want. You know, you name it, the list goes on and on. And at times we've allowed those things to really take hold and affect us, and unconsciously without even knowing it. You ever heard the phrase, a man who says he can and a man who says he can't are both right? Think about it. A man who says he can and a man who says he can't are both right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, your attitude and how you view yourself in different situations, guess where they start? The thought. They all start with the thought. Do you know what it says in Matthew 12:34? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everything starts with the thought. And we've looked at that subject quite a few times, right, Vicki? What you put on in your heart and what you put on in your mind will come right out of your mouth. And you will act in a specific manner. You could be the nicest individual on the planet, but if you begin to think and say anything that might be contrary to what the Word of God says about who you are, what you can do, what you will do, and or what you will be, then there's a big chance your actions are going to follow right behind. Your attitude and what you feel about the Word of God itself will determine your spirituality and the quality of your daily walk with the Father. You know, when your heart and where your heart and mind is will determine how you respond to the will of God. And you know, the thing is that it says in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the tongue can be used to harm and destroy, or it can be used as a tool to build and heal. And that doesn't only apply to what we say to other people. What we say is a determination of our own mindset many times, huh? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Just find this so fascinating that cheerful heart coincides right with the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. Romans chapter 8, we'll just kind of read this very classic section here. You could probably recite this standing on your head. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, guys, not even our own thoughts, our own flesh and blood can separate us from the love of God, which in turn is joy. You know, I remember just not too long ago, maybe about 3 years ago, someone once asked me if the joy that I felt when I first came to Christ was still present at that very moment. Now, somebody in my situation, I've been born and raised around this wonderful stuff. But I the answer that I gave this person was absolutely. You know why? I pointed this person to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, which says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Here's another thing, guys. This is one of my all-time favorite subjects because it simply applies to just about anything. You know, God's presence equates to that three-letter word, J-O-Y. Joy. Let's go to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16, verse 11, says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I have a question. Who in this room never leaves the house with one of these? For those of you on the conference call, I'm holding up what I like to call a phone charger. Not too long ago, we kind of had this discussion, right? We lived in a plugged-in society. Seems like our phones require more and more juice and power to run all day long at maximum capacity. And it would appear that our phones need to be charged more frequently throughout the day. Guess what? When our phones, computers, tablets, and other electronic devices are disconnected, guess what happens? They lose power. Could it possibly be that for us too, at times, that we feel as if we lost the strength and the power to function at maximum capacity? You know, the pressures, the burdens, the cares, the worries, the political environment, the list goes on and on. You guys name it. You know what I'm talking about. All these things come at us all at once, basically from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. It's what? Facts. Maybe not facts, but information. Constant information. And you know what those things do? They drain our batteries. they take a toll on us. They take a toll on our hearts, whether we realize it or not. They cause us to be burdened down and weary sometimes. But you know what? We need more than just physical realities to be recharged. And thankfully, God has provided us with an incredibly simple solution. And it's that three-letter word, J-O-Y. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth bones." You see, this is the solution, guys. It's God's solution. And you know, there's a difference between man's solution and God's solution. Man's solution is called happiness. And God's solution is called joy. And joy is the energizing source of power that lifts up our spirit. And that's stated in Nehemiah 8:10, which is part of a oceans. And then we see this as the exhortation from God as to what the solution is. Did you know that there is a difference between happiness and joy? Happiness is brought on by physical realities. Happiness is based on what's going on around you. But joy comes from God, and joy is unconditional. Do you suppose he knows how to do this? He does. It's really something, guys. Like I just mentioned before regarding our phones, seems like our entire society is running on batteries or some kind of power, electricity. Everything seems to be plugged into something, and when something isn't plugged in 24/7, at some point it will have to be recharged. Because we have cables, plugs, TVs, computers, tablets, and we can't forget about those handy-dandy things we have in our pockets called our phones, right? And I don't know about you, but when I go to bed each night, I put my phone on the charger so that it has the necessary amount of battery to be used the following day. But I love this verse in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is our power source and our strength. And it's that spiritual battery that we use to do the will of the Father. The Christ in us is charged and fueled with joy. And just like any other electronic device, when our battery runs low, we plug into that power source known as joy. And then, guess what? We keep going. I want to go to John chapter 16. I'm going to close here this morning. In John chapter 16, go to verse 24. All right, verse 24, it says, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Ask. You need a recharge with joy? Ask. Need just a little bit more time and more power? Many times it's just a matter of confessing it right then and there. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, Mike was a cheerful man, right? He rarely needed to be reminded of the power of Christ within, at least from the conversations that I had with him. There was a handshake that he and I did years ago that I dare not to remember. But, you know, that's the attitude of the born-again believer. And That's God's solution, with no strings attached. The joy that comes from God Almighty. How about this? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I will be what the Word of God says I will be. Those are not lies. Those are the truths of God's Word. And that's what fuels our spiritual batteries. Just remember, guys, that three-letter word, J-O-Y. Amen? All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, what a tremendous God you are. You're so good to us. We thank you that our relationship with you is not conditioned based on how we're feeling at times, Father. But as long as we walk this earth, all we want to do is serve you and worship you and give you all the praise and the glory, Father. We thank you for the joy that you have instilled in each and every one of us, Father. And as we continue on this journey of life, Father, we ask that you continue to remind us who we are because of what you accomplished through your Son. It's because of Him we have that joy and that cheerful heart, Father. So I pray for each and every heart here this morning that they are just completely infused with strength and joy, Father. And it's in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys.